Hey, Trojan fans, it's time to get into the huddle with the Peristyle Podcast. The Peristyle Podcast is your weekly ticket to USC football and recruiting news. Don't forget, you can download the podcast 24/7 at our website, peristylepodcast.com. And now, here's the host of the Peristyle Podcast, USCFootball.com publisher, Ryan Abraham.
Hello, Trojan fans. Welcome to the Peristyle Podcast on a Thursday. Today's a solo podcast, except it's not really a solo podcast. We have Steve Mason joining the podcast. So I asked Steve, I'm like, Steve, can you come on the podcast, my solo podcast? He said, well, it really wouldn't be a solo podcast anymore. But you can see him on ESPN LA, or you can see him on Fox 11 on KTTV in here in Los Angeles, or listen to him on ESPN LA 710 with John Ireland. And they have podcasts, and you can see the live show in the afternoons. And you can follow him on Twitter, at Venice Mace. Also, his website, stevemason.com, if you want to know all about Steve, all those different stuff he's done. He's been all over the media, done all different kinds of things. He's joining the show now. Steve, what's up, man? How you doing?
It is so great to be on a solo podcast, and I'd like to say again, it's clearly not solo anymore. I love to hear you just read emails. I love to hear you take phone messages, although always you got to be less than a minute.
Right.
Or can't really play your message. I am a religious Ryan Abraham Peristyle podcast listener. So I'm excited to be on.
Steve, I really appreciate that. Yeah. So I came on your show this week and you said you got a lot of positive feedback from it. And I usually try not to pull any punches when we're on there and talk about, you know, what I felt was right, what I felt was wrong. And you started going off on the podcast. You knew every guest we've had, and it was kind of funny. I'm like, I don't know if we've had you on before, but I'm like, oh, Steve, we got to have you on too.
Yeah, I'm a loyal listener. I like the Coach Harvey Hyde Huddle Up and Buckle Up podcast. I like the Dan Weber, and I mean this in a really warm way, Cranky Old Man podcast. I like the Ryan Abraham solos. I mean, I'm here every week. I think the Peristyle podcast is awesome, man. It's one of the things I use to get ready for games, and because I do the USC pregame, and also just to find out what Trojan fans are thinking.
Yeah, well, thanks, Steve. I appreciate that, and it's fun. We had Gerard Martinez on. We had an emergency one on Monday because of all the big news, so we had Gerard come on too. He usually does like a lot of the recruiting stuff, but he's been kind of dialed into the coaching everything, and Steve, you're a busy man. I don't know where you get time to do all this kind of stuff. Listen to podcasts because we see you on TV. You're here on the radio. You're always hanging with celebrities doing certain things. Just you're always seem like a busy man.
I believe I've lost you, Ryan.
Oh, can you hear me?
Oh, there you are. There you are.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, you dropped off for a second. I think you were saying busy man. Yeah, you know what? Somebody asked me when I work recently, and I said when I'm awake. I work hard. It's a really fun gig, but I say yes to every job because hell, you never know when this is all going to dry up.
Very true. Yeah. Well, one of your jobs is you work for Pat Hayden. You work for USC, doing the shows on the radio, talking about the USC football team. And so it's been a weird spot for you kind of talking about this because there's a lot of criticism about Pat Hayden. And I think most people like Clay Helton. He's a very likable guy, and a lot of people feel he can do a good job, but really people had an issue with the process of how Pat Hayden got there and why they would hire him at the time they did and all of that.
Yeah, I mean, it is a weird, and, you know, I gave you this caveat the other day on the air, is that, you know, Pat's not just my boss, he's a friend of mine, and so it's very hard for me to separate myself from that, because I know what a good dude he is. I know how much he cares. I know how devastated he was by what happened with Steve Sarkisian, and I know how badly he wants to get it right. And I mean, I don't think he gets enough credit. We all know he's incredibly wealthy guy, wildly successful in business and on the board of trustees. Before he took this job, I really do believe he came in as a rescue guy, to try to save the program during its darkest time. And I don't know that every Trojan fan necessarily gives him, credit for that. And I, as I said the other day, you know, people generally have the idea, I mean, probably not on your, boards and on your podcast, but, you know, the broader public thinks he hired Lane Kiffin, and he did not. Lane Kiffin was handed to him when he got into the program. That was a Mike Garrett hire. So really this, he has had one football hire. It didn't work. He's acknowledged that. He says, it's on me. He had one basketball hire. They took a very different approach. They did not, Andy Enfield did not go the one and done road. Instead, he's trying to build a long-term sustainable program, not circled, not centered on those one and done guys. And they're off to a really good start this year. I think a lot of people wrote off the Andy Enfield hire, after, season two, maybe even after season one. And I still think that hire could work out. I think that could turn out to be a very good hire. And I am a fan of Clay Helton. My conversations, with people in the administration, not necessarily Pat, but within the administration, were all along that they really wanted Clay to coach his way into this job, that they like him, that he's a solid dude, that he's changed the culture, that he's changed the identity of this team, that there is more aggressiveness and more toughness and more of a desire to run the football. We saw that at the end of the UCLA game when UCLA just, they basically got it shoved down their throat. And to me, that's USC football. We've had a lot of fun throwing the ball around the yard a lot, and we've had some great wide receivers and Juju spectacular. But, I love seeing Justin Davis carve it up. I love seeing Ronald Jones II and thinking about who he can potentially be down the line, and Trey Madden is a bull when he's healthy. So, you know, I like the things that he has done, and I think that there's a difference between winning the off season, hiring some big gigantic name, or winning in the season, winning next year. And so it's really hard. I mean, I remember the worst hire in USC football history. It was a guy named Pete Carroll, and it turned out to be the greatest hire in USC football history. So I think people rush to judgment, but I have faith that Clay is the right guy.
You know, one thing you touched on there, Steve, when you said that people you talked to, they really wanted him to be able to coach his way into the job. And I think something that Pat Hayden said that, you know, I just didn't buy. And it's usually like when a professional athlete says it's not about the money, what is it usually about? It's about the money. When he said it wasn't about beating UCLA, I have a really hard time picturing that press conference happening and them hiring Clay Helton on Monday if USC lost to UCLA on Saturday.
Yeah, this was a common theme with the people I talked to at, in the administration, is that they said, you know, it's not about, I mean, prior to all this, that it wasn't about beating UCLA. It wasn't predicated on wins. But I don't know, you know, you go back to 2013, Steve Sarkisian was hired on December the 2nd, of that year. Lane Kiffin, of course, was a January hire, but it put him behind the eight ball a little bit. I mean, I think one of the things they wanted to establish right away, and we saw this from recruits all over Twitter and this next recruiting class, is they all thought, you know, great hire. You know, there was a sense of continuity. And my understanding is that Clay was in a top recruit's living room on, Monday night, that he was recruiting and already trying to build forward, and, you know, not give up the jump on some other schools who might have gotten to kids first.
No, I think you're right. I think that they're continuity wise, I think he's the right guy. And I think that, you know, I would have much rather seen a more national search and all that kind of go through. I mean, I was pretty clear about that. But, you know, for what Clay Helton brings to the table, I think they needed an adult. You know, they needed someone that's going to bring some stability. And I think he does that. The players love him, and I don't really put a whole lot of stock in that, but it certainly doesn't hurt. But for this current team, I think he's the guy that would give you the best chance to actually beat Stanford and win the Rose Bowl and do all that. And then, you know, for the future, I'm not really sure. We'll see what happens. But I think there's going to be added pressure, fair or not, on Clay Helton, because usually you hire a coach and you have 8 months before they're coaching a game. Like, you have the chance to win the offseason. Clay Helton doesn't really have a chance to win the offseason. He has 5 days till you play Stanford and then figure out which bowl you're going. And by the way, you open up against Alabama the next year. So I think there's a lot more pressure on Clay Helton being hired as the interim than I think just if you went out and got a big name and they got to retool everything and start things from scratch.
Yeah, what will be interesting, I think, is you know, if USC does not beat Stanford on Saturday. And by the way, they're completely capable of beating Stanford.
Sure.
But if they don't beat Stanford, they'll go to a bowl game. You don't exactly know what that matchup is, whether it'll be the Holiday Bowl or up in San Francisco, but could draw a tough matchup if they don't win that. And then they open with Alabama. It's possible that Clay could go 0 for his first three. Then you know, there will be a definite panic that ensues. And I think that's kind of the existential fear amongst Trojan fans. At the same time, you know, let's say you don't beat Stanford. You go to a bowl game, you win. I think at that point, the slate becomes clean. I think at that point, you go to the Alabama game, and, you know, I think USC will be an underdog and probably a decided underdog with a new quarterback, a new starting quarterback. At that point, I think it's just kind of house money. You know, I mean, you may not expect to beat Alabama. I mean, we want to beat Alabama, but if you lose to them, there's kind of no shame in that. And as long as you perform credibly against Alabama, and again, I think they can win the game, you know, I think that sells a lot of people on Clay Helton. But you're right, these next three games are going to be critical to at least the emotional knee-jerk snap judgment that some Trojan fans, hardcore Trojan fans, feel about Clay.
You know, that kind of this whole Clay Helton thing really overshadowed the big game. You know, the USC UCLA battle, and you were tweeting all kinds of stuff, memes and everything. It was pretty funny. And yeah, if people don't know, your on air partner John Ireland is a UCLA grad, and you work for USC. So there's just been kind of, you know, back and forth thing going on. Did it make things a lot easier, you know, when USC beat UCLA for you, for everything in your life?
Oh my God, it was the relief of my lifetime. I mean, honestly, it's like the greatest thing that happened to me this year. I cannot live in a world where UCLA has a 4-game winning streak over USC. I was so nervous going into that game, and I was so, I mean, I couldn't have dealt with the garbage from Bruins fans, from both Ireland and everybody else that I know and people on Twitter. I just couldn't take it anymore. So I was unbelievably relieved when they won the game. Hey, I'm going to let you know that my show is going to start here in about 3 minutes. So I'm going to have to bail off of this. But the thing I was going to say about the UCLA win is that it is incredibly unfortunate in this respect. We really didn't get a day to gloat. We did not, as Trojan fans, get a day to say to the guy in the other cubicle or your friend down the street, ha ha, which to me, I always say when UCLA loses, to me, it's like a big frosty cup of fun. We really didn't get to enjoy our cup of fun, and we didn't get a chance to really gloat and celebrate what that team was able to do to out-physical a UCLA team that just beat them up last year, to exert its will on that UCLA team, to force a freshman quarterback who is apparently chosen by God to make big mistakes in that game, to celebrate the fact that Biggie Marshall, who's been picked on this year, was able to, as an 18-year-old, make two gigantic interceptions. You know, we didn't get a chance to celebrate Cody Kessler, who finally got a signature win in his final game at the Coliseum. I mean, there were so many reasons to really enjoy that game, and instead it turned into a referendum on Clay Helton, which I think that's one of the big downsides and one of the big disappointments about the way the hire came down. We really didn't get – it became a referendum on Clay Helton instead of a celebration of a bunch of player seniors who beat UCLA for the very first time.
Yeah, you know, it'll be interesting to see now, because they were all playing for him to get hired. He's hired. Do they fight harder because he's now the head coach, or do they not fight as hard because they really got that what they want? That's the one thing I want to see this weekend.
Yeah, no, we're absolutely going to find that out. I mean, there was motivation, you know, play for Clay. Let's get him the job. I mean, there was a huge celebration that he got the job. Obviously, we saw in the locker room the celebration of players once they found out that he actually had the job. But does some of that motivation slip away now? I think that they, you know, that Stanford loss, first of all, they were up, weren't they up 21-10 in that game?
Yeah.
They were up 21-10. The idea that SC cannot play with Stanford is absolutely ridiculous. And I mean, if you've got a 21-10 lead that slips away and you give up, what, the next 21 points, I think that leaves a mark. And I think these players remember what that was like to watch that game drip, drip, drip away. So, you know, my feeling is we got to, great shot of winning on Saturday. Great shot at winning. And then I think the conversation about Clay Helton changes again. Then you get the sense that, all right, this Pac-12 championship game wins, Rose Bowl, maybe a really sexy matchup against Ohio State in Pasadena. All of a sudden, I think everybody gets a different feeling about Clay Helton. But this week is important for Clay in that it will kind of define the way people feel about him for this entire off season. And a nice warm feeling from beating Stanford will really control the dialogue all the way until the opener against Alabama.
The great Steve Mason. Follow him on Twitter at Venice Mace. Steve, I know you got to go do your show. Thanks so much for taking some time with us.
Now I want you to go ahead and read some emails and
I'm going
play
to, yeah.
Some voicemail messages. I mean, the solo podcast, I'm going to be listening later on. I want to hear the full solo podcast action.
I definitely will, Steve. Thanks so much.
All right. Thanks, Rick.
All right. That was Steve Mason joining the solo podcast. We actually thought I was going to have him on longer. I didn't realize. I forgot he had to do a show. So he was going to take off. But that was cool that it worked out great that we can finish off the, it'll really be a solo podcast just with a little guest appearance by Steve Mason. So thanks for him coming by. He does a great job. So if you haven't checked him out, definitely do that. So I'm going to answer some of your questions. We actually had, and I feel terrible, we had a voicemail that I was supposed to be for Coach Harvey Hyde and I wrote it down wrong. So I'm going to play it and listen and answer it. So I apologize for not doing it during the Harvey Hyde show on Wednesday, but here you go.
Hey, Ryan, this is Cece in Georgia. First off, congrats to USC for beating the Bruins and congrats to Cody Kessler. For what this kid has had to go through in his college career, he deserves a special honor in my opinion. Okay, my question is for Coach Hyde. I understand that we are running the ball pretty good right now, but do you think Coach Helton is being too predictable with his play calling? I see a lot of running on first and second down, then pass on third. Should he be mixing it up more and passing on first or maybe second down so we can eliminate a lot of the three and out? Thanks, Coach and Ryan. Love the podcast. Fight on.
Hey, Cece, thanks for calling in. And, yeah, we love it. I think there's a certain predictability to part of what the USC offense does. We actually do that in the press box every once in a while, not necessarily with the down and distance, but sometimes with the personnel groupings. So watch when Juju Smith comes out of the game. It's most likely a run. A lot of times we saw when Ronald Jones would come in, that's most likely a run. And, you know, the third and long, there's just certain situations we kind of make a little game out of it in the press box. But I think if you saw USC the last few years against UCLA, it really looked like UCLA was reading the playbook. They knew exactly what was going to happen. I didn't get that same sort of sense. And part of it is, you know, when USC is trying to trick you, when you're trying to do something that you don't expect, and if you know what's coming, then it's a lot easier to defend. I think in this aspect, it was more of doing something that is harder to defend, where they're pounding the football, and especially what you saw in the fourth quarter and Justin Davis getting 100 yards rushing. I think there, if you know you're going to run, but you're just bowling people over, it's okay. So I think there's some certain aspect of that. We won't really know. He hasn't changed a whole lot. He's changed as much as he can, but you're not going to see sweeping changes. And I don't think you'll see that until after the bowl game where who knows if he goes out and gets a new offensive coordinator. They run, you know, they'll probably run a similar scheme to what he's doing now, but someone else that's kind of running the show, or if he continues to do it himself. We just don't know at this point. But yeah, so good question there. Thanks. And I'm sorry I didn't have that on for Coach Harvey Hyde. Let's see. Let's go to Kevin in Montebello. I had to cut this down because it was pretty long. I'm shocked at the hire and the timing of the hire. I've been watching USC football since John Robinson's first tenure, and I don't understand the last two hires by Hayden. I won't even start about the Sark hire, but as far as Clay Helton, it seems he's a good, upstanding man and a solid football coach. However, when I think of a USC caliber head coach, I think of a coach who is in the top 3 to 5 of the country. I think of Meyer, Carroll, or Saban. This job is not for coaches who need on-the-job training. The timing of the situation also behooves me. Thanks and fight on, Kevin and Montebello. No, I agree with you 100%. I do feel that Clay Helton can be the man. I think he really, for right now, like for today, they needed someone like him, and he was already there, but they needed the adult in the room. They needed someone that was not going to get USC in the headlines and on TV for the wrong reasons. And that's exactly what's been happening. You know, if it's, you know, Sark's escapades or Josh Shaw or Kiffin doing all the kind of crazy things Kiffin would like to do. I don't think the administration wanted that. And I feel that they felt Clay Helton was going to be a guy that would, if they're in the news, you know, if they're in the headline, the front page, if they're on, you know, your mobile phone blowing it up because of all these alerts from USC, it's because they did something great, not because something was awful and everyone's coming down. I mean, I can't tell you how many drop everything moments we've had covering USC over these past few years where you're looking at your phone or whatever, Twitter, boom, this press release comes out. Holy crap. All right, got to drop everything. And for the next couple of days, your life is hell because you're covering this huge story that has nothing to do with the season and just something going on at USC. But no, I agree with you. I think USC is a top five job, and they should have at least been interviewing top five candidates. Just look at all of the news that's breaking on Twitter and everything right now as far as candidates go. You're hearing, when someone interviews for a job, you're hearing things about it. And, you know, I don't believe USC had formal interviews with really anybody during this coaching search. And to be able to hire someone 2 days after the regular season ended, that was like what Steve Mason was saying. The guys from within really wanted him to be the guy. And I think the last time they hired someone, they really wanted Sark to be the guy. So did they really look and, you know, check out all these other people? No, because they kind of had their guy in-house. That's what they wanted. And the problem is the last three times USC's hired a coach, and I know Pat Hayden didn't do, like Steve Mason said, Pat Hayden wasn't the guy who hired Lane Kiffin. He was on the board of trustees at the time, though, so he was definitely involved in that. But you've got all three, you know, USC assistant coaches. It's all from within. It's all within the family. And I think this would have been the perfect opportunity to kind of go outside the family. Yeah, it's a weird situation, but the fact that you made this terrible hire 2 years ago puts you in this weird situation. It doesn't mean do the easy thing by keeping the guy local, you know, that was basically brought into the university by Lane Kiffin. And that's why Clay Helton is here. Great guy. I think he's going to do pretty well. And I think you could do well at USC just by not screwing up. And I don't see Clay Helton's not the kind of guy that's going to go screw it up. Lane Kiffin screwed things up. Steve Sarkisian certainly screwed things up. I don't think Clay Helton will. Now, will he get you to greatness? We just don't know. I think he'll be certainly competent. I think he'll do a good job. I think the players are going to fight for him. How long is that going to go on? You know, we'll see. But yeah, that's hopefully that answered your question. We have Earl in West LA. He wrote in. He said, your Twitter poll, and this was as of a couple of days ago, I have to check it now, had 1,522 respondents with 57% favoring the hiring of Clay Helton as the USC head coach. The Los Angeles Times had a similar poll with 1,826 respondents and had 80% agree with the hire. He said, you appear to have as many followers as the LA Times. So these are Twitter polls. And I can't, when I usually use TweetDeck, I cannot see Twitter polls on TweetDeck, but you have to do it on the native app or, you know, the webpage or whatever. But I've been doing more polls lately. We did that whole, we're still not done yet. We have the final four now. And we're, you know, voting. It was the USC coaching bracket. We were voting from 32 names all the way down to one. Who do the fans want to see as the next USC head coach? So I was doing that on Twitter polls. But after the hire, I put out a poll. Yet it was very simple, yes or no. And it was pretty even. 57% favored hiring Clay Helton, and 43% did not. The LA Times one was a lot higher, 80%, which I thought was kind of interesting. So I don't know if I have like more critical USC fans on my following or my list of followers or what. I'm not really sure. But thanks for Earl. Thanks, Earl, for pointing that one out. Let's move on. Lamar in Lancaster. And These are all dedicated to Steve Mason, by the way, because he does love when I read off people's questions. So thanks, Steve. I wanted to read Steve some questions, but he had to go do a show. Maybe we'll have him on again. We'll have him do that next time. So I noticed certain changes Clay has implemented on both sides of the ball. The team runs more, utilizes the tight end and fullback in the red zone, and since he has stepped in as the head coach, I see a more aggressive defensive approach. It appears that Clay has had input on the defensive side of the ball. Would this be any indication among the obvious that he will make a change at that coaching spot to give himself more time to concentrate on offense? I'd like SC to hire the Washington defensive coach to coach Clay's defense, Lamar and Lancaster. The Washington's had a great defense this year, and they lost four guys that were the top, four of the top 44 picks in the NFL draft from the Washington defense alone. And they still have the top defense in the Pac-12. And that Chris Peterson and his staff. But the last defensive coordinator you got came from the University of Washington. Probably wouldn't go back to that well again, even though it's a different thing. I do feel there's going to be a lot of shakeup, mostly on the defensive side of the ball. He could bring in a big offensive coach and be more of a manager of the team. But I think he's going to be involved in everything no matter what. I don't think he's going to hire a defensive coach and never look at the defensive side of the ball. I think he likes that. He's talked about that at practice yesterday. And, I mean, I think that's a really good aspect where a lot of times you get an offensive coach, I mean, Lane Kiffin especially, buried in his play chart, and when the defense has the ball, it's almost like he's not even concerned. Just let me know what happens, and I'm going to get the offense going again. That's not what Clay Helton does. He's on the headset listening in as the defensive calls are being made. He has his offensive assistants kind of preparing the next drive. He's not doing that. He's involved in the defense and the special teams. So thanks, Lamar, for that one. We have Andrew. He said, "Hey, Ryan, love the show." Thank you, Andrew. Quick question. Why do you think as the season went on under Helton, we saw less playing time from Osa Messina? So there have definitely been some shakeup in the linebackers. Now, Osa's been dinged up, and he's probably going to be able to play against Stanford. There was some of the injury aspect, but sometimes I think they're just moving guys around. And, if you look at Shotgun, does a great job of putting the participation chart up on USCFootball.com after the games. He has the one up from UCLA, and you can see some guys get demoted sometimes. Guys get moved around. Scott Felix was starting. I think he started every game, and he became the third string rush end against UCLA. So I think they're mixing things up a little bit. And I think when they've changed the philosophy a little more, playing more man, and I just feel like they're using guys they feel can get in there and make plays. So I keep watching it. I think some of it's performance-based, but I think a lot of it was when he was injured too. But they're moving guys around as far as where they are in the depth chart. I mean, Don Hill playing, we hadn't seen him most of the year, and he came in and was the second team rush end ahead of Scott Felix and got a lot of reps. So thanks for that one. We have one more voicemail question. Let me play this one for you.
Hi, Ryan, Robin Yakaya. Just wanted to call and talk a little bit about it. I know you guys have been talking about coaching staff, potential changes and that type of thing for Clay when he comes to evaluate the staff and tries to improve the staff. Two people of interest I think he should probably look at is Kennedy Paulette, UCLA, Trojan himself, and the second person I would try to pursue to bring back would be Ken Norton Jr., whether it's a defensive coordinator position or another position on the defense. I think by adding, you want to return to a physical style. I think you need to get a couple of physical guys back on the staff, and one on offense and one on defense I think would really benefit the changes that Clay's trying to make. I think that would be great. Hopefully, he can look into that and see if that could happen or not. But anyway, this could be for Dan or Coach. Doesn't really matter. Anyway, love the podcast. Thanks. Take care.
Oh, sorry, cut you off there, Jay. Okay, so here's my thoughts on the assistant coaches. Before, I didn't really want to talk about assistant coaches because USC didn't have a head coach. Now they do. Now USC has a head coach. They still have games to play, so there won't be staff changes until after the season. People were asking me on Twitter, well, who's gonna hire for the offensive coordinator right now? There's no staff positions open. Lenny Vandermeid was a graduate assistant. They promoted him. He's now a full-time assistant. So you can have 9 full-time assistant coaches. Clay was one of them. Sark's gone. Clay became the head coach. They had one assistant spot open. Lenny Vandermeid was promoted, and now he's another, you know, he's on the staff. So they still have their nine guys right now. I do believe there will be a pretty big shakeup after the season when they hire some assistant coaches. My thought on when you keep with Clay Helton, you stick with Clay Helton, and you're someone from within, I think you need more outside influences. I don't think you have to go back to, hey, I've heard of that guy, let's bring him in. I've heard of that guy, let's bring him in. I think, you know, Kennedy Polamalu now, you know, he's over at UCLA. I think he would probably like to return to USC. I think he's an actual real candidate. I would not be surprised if that happens somehow, depending on, you know, what everything goes down. But for the most part, Ken Norton Jr., he's a defensive coordinator in the NFL right now with the Raiders, and they're doing well. I don't see him coming back to be the defensive coordinator at USC. And I don't necessarily think you need to go that way. I mean, I would go get a college, you know, just kick-ass defensive coordinator that you can say, you know, this is the best defensive coordinator we've ever seen. He's awesome. You control the defense. And, you know, Clay will come in and check it out. But I think they need to do something like that. People have mentioned Clancy Pendergast, but that's because people know him. He was here for 1 year and it did really well, at least was aggressive and, you know, had some bad games too. But I think even you want to go out and they can't be paying Clay all that much. They should have plenty of money for assistant coaches. So go out and get just a kick-ass defensive coordinator who's from outside that has nothing to do with USC, like I thought they should do for the head coaching hire, and do something like that. So that's kind of where I feel on that. But most people want to mention guys they know because they've heard of him. They saw him at USC before. Him, like Tommy Robinson, who's at Texas now. He's another good running back coach that I thought did a good job. But I kind of would prefer just get people that are like completely outside that have great resumes. Clay Helton does not have a great resume to be a head coach at USC. Like, he might do a great job, but if you compare his resume to anyone else that's a head coach in the top 25 right now, he's got the least experience, and this is a top five job. So I think you have to go out and get great resume assistant coaches. That's my opinion. Peter in Fullerton says, first off, thanks for your extensive coverage you and the team have provided these last few days. Feels like you guys have been working around the clock. I share your sentiment. Peter, I feel like we've been doing that. This is our fourth, well, I've done a bunch more. That's actually my fifth USC podcast of the week. I've done a Pac-12 podcast. I'm going to do another Pac-12 podcast. So I think I'm done after this one. So we did a live one, and we put it up on uscfootball.com. We're going to try to do a live radio show, internet show on Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. We're calling it Peristyle Live. So we did one with my buddy Tony D, who's he works for ESPN Radio as well. And we did it yesterday. You can see the on uscfootball.com. I posted it on the message boards. We didn't really promote it a lot, but it'll be a live show. So while we're talking, you can actually put in the chat room, you know, put your questions in there, and then we will answer them. All right, anyway, back to Peter's question. He said, much has been said about Helton simply being a really nice guy. You mentioned many times he's always positive. That's great. But sometimes that style is taken advantage of or simply doesn't work. Have you observed a tough side to him where he can bring the hammer down when necessary? Also, can you provide an update on Coach Stark? That's from Peter. Yeah, you know, I think we've seen him. He is a very nice guy. He's a genuinely nice guy. I think he's a very honest guy. I think he's a what you see, what you get. And I think a lot of the players appreciate that. But if you see the style of play, he's like, I mean, it's tough. And he values guys like Juju Smith, who are tough players. And he will go out of his way to talk about the Nico Follas of the world who come in there and they're four string and they haven't played really center before and they're playing against UCLA and Kenny Clark and doing a great job. So I think he definitely brings that level of toughness. I'm curious because there's so many aspects to being a head coach. He'll be great with, I think, alumni and boosters. I mean, very nice, very good, you know, great personality. You don't have to worry about Lane Kiffin kind of stuff. Will he be very tough when you have to make the tough decisions like firing a coach? I'm curious to see that. I'm sure he can, but we haven't really had to see him do anything like that because he hasn't been a head coach. He hasn't had to make those kind of decisions. He hasn't made those decisions on the recruiting side. There's a lot of things that go into being a head coach that because he's never done it before, we just don't know. But I think there's going to have to be major changes on the staff. I'm sure he's capable of doing it, but I almost want to hear what he has to say when he says, I got rid of this coach. Because he is so nice, I'm very curious to see how that all goes down. But I have confidence that he'll be able to do it. We just haven't had, he hasn't been in that position before, so we just don't know. And an update on Coach Sark, we don't really know. We haven't heard anything. He hasn't tweeted, and we haven't got any word. But he did, at least Clay Helton said, he got a text from Steve Sarkisian congratulating him. So to me, I don't, usually if you're in some sort of rehab where you're isolated and you wouldn't be able to do something like that. So that's interesting to me that, you know, it doesn't sound like he's in, at least right now, in some sort of isolated rehab where you're just closed out from the outside world. So we really don't know much else on Steve Sarkisian, but the fact that he was able to send a text. Now, he tweeted like a month or two ago, whatever it was, and you know, that could have been a family or an agent or something like that. And maybe, you know, maybe the text came from someone that visited Sarkisian and passed it along. But if it's a text from Steve to Clay, then he's probably not in some kind of facility where you're just cut off from the world. All right. So, but that's all we know right now. Jarrett, he said, personally, I'm not upset with the hiring of Helton. A little more bothered by Pat Hayden, but I'm sure, and he spells Hayden, H-A-Y-D-E-N. It's H-A-D-E-N, people, just Pat Hayden. But you guys should know that by now, okay? But I'm sure you or another caller will get to that. With so many Trojan fans and alumni on the fence about the hiring and the constant pressure of the Trojans' success, how short will Clay Helton's leash be? Meaning, a few big losses strike up a conversation we've been having for the past month. Oh, he said, meaning will a few big losses strike up the conversations we've been having for the last month? Yeah, so I think there's a long leash. He's got a 5-year guaranteed contract. Now, how much of his contract? I have a hard time picturing he's getting more than $3 million a year. We just don't know. But that buyout, if you had to buy out the entire contract today, would be $15 million. I mean, that's what Les Miles' contract buyout is. And what we heard from Mark Stoops at Kentucky, his buyout's even more than that. So I think if after 2 years, I mean, it's not going to be too expensive for USC to get out of it. It's at least what's be left on his contract. They might have other terms and stuff in there. We don't know about it. I just don't think there's a very short leash. I think they're dedicated to Clay Helton, but they were dedicated to Steve Sarkisian too. And I don't think Sarkisian would have been fired for the performance on the field, even though a lot of people felt he should have been. It really was the off the field stuff that got him fired. So I think you're going to see the same thing. Would anything happen, as long as he keeps his nose clean, and even if they're bad, probably not for 3 years, I wouldn't think, you know, anything would happen there. I think USC and Clay Helton are together in this, but you bring up that there's pressure on him for sure. And we talked about it with Steve Mason earlier with the games he has coming up. And there are people on the fence. And I think a lot of people, you know, to Pat Hayden, you know, to give some credence to what Pat Hayden said. I mean, he said it wasn't about UCLA, but I think the timing of after the UCLA game made it more popular with fans, and especially fans that are on the fence. They kind of forgot about getting beat by 20. That's Clay Helton's team that got beat by 20 at Oregon and looked terrible and gave up more touchdown passes than any USC team in the history of USC football. So that happened 7 days before they beat UCLA and 9 days before he was hired. So it's not like it's that some distant past. It wasn't his first game like it was Notre Dame. That really happened. So the pendulum swung one way after losing to Oregon and really swung back after beating UCLA. That was the perfect time. If you're Pat Hayden and you want to hire him no matter what, that was the high mark. That was where you could have done it. And he did. But it could, you know, Stanford crushes USC, that pendulum could swing right back. And it, you know, that's tough. It's tough on Clay Helton because he has to coach a game 5 days after he was hired as the permanent head coach. But you know, it could be good. It could make a run. You could win the Rose Bowl, and then it makes Pat Hayden's decision look much better. They could lose to Stanford, lose in the bowl game, and it makes his decision look that much worse. So I think those people are kind of on the fence or like, oh, you know, I'm pretty cool with it. If USC loses the next two games, then I don't think they'll be as cool with it. So, I don't think he's on a short leash, Jarrett, but there is a lot of pressure on him because the fan base is not going to be happy because it's a questionable hire, no matter what you say. A lot of people were questioning it. They couldn't believe that it actually went down that way. It wasn't like there was a lot of people that were very, you know, questionable. They were questioning what was going on there. All right, David, we have a couple more and then we'll be done. David says, I understand you are a Heisman voter. I am, David. as of right now, who are your hot candidates and who are the hot candidates in your eyes? This year's Heisman race seems underwhelming. Also, can you foresee anyone on this USC team being a candidate in the coming years? Thanks. Fight on, David. Yeah, you know, I'm kind of, we've got away from the running backs for years now, and I'm going to put all three running backs on my ballot, I believe. We're not allowed to talk about who, I probably shouldn't even tell you that, but we're not allowed to talk about who we're voting for and stuff, but, you know, like Derrick Henry looks like he's going to be the runaway guy. I like Christian McCaffrey a lot. I like Dalvin Cook a lot at Florida State. And, you know, it's just, I kind of just like the running backs more this year. As far as who could win the Heisman, the best offensive player for USC will be Juju Smith, but he won't win the Heisman because receivers just don't win the Heisman. You'd have to do a whole bunch of other stuff. He's not, you know, this dynamic kick returner. I think of anyone, it would have to be someone like Adoree Jackson as of right now. You know, maybe, you know, Ronald Jones is capable of doing that too. Like he could be get, you know, the tailback you depending on what the offense is next year and all that kind of stuff. But I think Adoree Jackson, who'd be a junior, you know, likely his last year, if he can play more on offense and they feel more comfortable in the secondary, you know, maybe he gets a couple pick sixes. You know, some interceptions, definitely more than he has this year. You get interceptions. If they say they play more man coverage, he gets more picks. Maybe returns a couple of them for touchdown. Gets rushing touchdown. You know, gets some, passing touchdowns. I mean, you know, he receiving touchdowns, but also ends up throwing a pass for a touchdown. Goes in, kicks an extra point, and does stuff like that. And of course, returns kicks and punts. So you get like a punt return, a kickoff return for a touchdown. This will be like kind of Curtis Conway back in the day. He could throw a pass for a touchdown. He could catch a pass for a touchdown. He could run a touchdown in. He could return an interception for a touchdown. That'd be six different ways. And then maybe he kicks an extra point or a field goal or something. That would be scoring seven different ways. I think that would be an ideal way for him to be able to do that. So he could do it, but it would be have to be like this dynamic thing. He would be this weird kind of candidate that scores all these different ways. And I think they would have to make a conscious effort to do that. Hey, we're going to try to get Adoree Jackson in to games. It's a blowout game. Let him kick the extra point, you know, just so there's these boxes you can kind of check off. So we'll see. I mean, those are kind of my thoughts on the Heisman and who USC could have in the future. We got one last one. This is from Jason. He said, again, USC has hired a man at a top 25 program that is not on any school's hire list whatsoever. Unfortunately, that's true. First of all, why not wait a couple of weeks? I'm beginning to believe Pat Hayden purposely trying to hurt the University of Southern California. A top five program should have a top five head coach. Now, I don't think Pat Hayden's trying to hurt the school, certainly at all. He's a Trojan legend. He loves USC. He loves USC football. I don't have any questions about any of that. I do question a lot of the decisions he's made. And no one at a school as prestigious as USC or pretty much anyone in the top 25 or likely anyone in the top 50 was going to hire Clay Helton to be the head coach. He could have gone to Memphis potentially. We don't know if they would have hired him, but there was certainly potential there. Or a program like Houston, potential there. But you're not talking about Power 5 schools that would hire him, and USC did. Now, he was coaching at USC, and he got that opportunity. I don't think Ed Orgeron would have got the same kind of opportunity either, and USC, well, apparently was considering him. Didn't look like they considered him at all. But because of the situation he was in, it's kind of like the vice president, you get to become president. Now, would you have liked to have him be the president? No, but he was in the right position at the right time, got promoted, and got an opportunity to show what he could do, and he did. And I think he impressed Pat Hayden and the players and the recruits and everybody enough. I'm in your camp, though. I think they should have at least waited a while. And he's not going anywhere. People say, no one's going to hire him away. If he had a chance to be USC's head coach and they said, we're going to look at a couple huge, huge candidates, and if those don't work out, you're going to be our guy. So wait a couple weeks. If Memphis doesn't want to wait 2 weeks for you, I mean, you really want that job anyway. So I don't think there's any reason that USC had to do it because they were worried someone's going to hire Clay Helton away. There was no one that we heard of that was trying to, you know, knock down his door to hire him, except USC. So, yes, it just doesn't make a lot of sense. It doesn't make a lot of sense you're hiring another former USC assistant. I felt the best time, this was the opportune time to go outside. And, you know, maybe the administration doesn't want to bring in a huge name from outside. And I kind of think that's something to do with it, where they upset the apple cart and they make sweeping changes and they change the culture for real, not change the philosophy on offense or whatever, like change the culture in the John McKay Center. Like, this isn't going to happen this way. Like, if a Chip Kelly came in, he would change a lot of things. He might close practice to the media. I mean, I wouldn't advocate that. I would hate that. But those are the kind of things where you get a big name guy to come in. He's going to, and they're, you know, a highly paid head coach that's got head coaching experience and winning head coach experience. He's going to tell you what he wants. And this is how I'm going to be successful. Clay Helton's not going to come in there and say, change that, change that, change that to the administration. He's never done this before. So this is what he knows. And so there's a familiarity to that, that, you know, being familiar with what USC already does, I think that was appealing to Pat Hayden, the administration. I don't think that's the right way or a good reason for that to happen, but I kind of think that had something to do with it. So, all right. Well, that's our solo podcast with special appearance by Steve Mason. Hope you guys enjoyed it. I'm not going to do any more Peristyle podcasts this week. My voice is about shot. But hope you guys enjoyed the podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. We got a quick message for you from our buddies over at Circle Marketing. Thanks to them, and thanks everyone for listening in.
Welcome back to the show, folks. We're downtown today looking for small business owners. Here's one now. Excuse me, who's handling the marketing for your business?
Marketing? My nephew did our Facebook page and the website, but I didn't really see results. I'm just too busy trying to build my business to focus on that stuff. Maybe I have to hire a professional.
Well, did you know Circle Marketing's entire team of marketing experts can help you grow your business?
Really? But can Circle Marketing handle my social media updates?
Yes.
New website design?
Yep.
Online advertising?
Sure thing.
Make a professional video?
Oh, yeah.
Help me with marketing strategy?
Absolutely.
Can they walk my dog, Harriet?
No, that's not marketing.
Oh, okay. Well, we were on a roll there. So where can I find more information about Circle Marketing?
That's easy. Go to CircleMarketing.com. When you're ready to hire a professional, full-service marketing company, contact Circle Marketing.
You've been listening to the Peristyle Podcast, presented by USCFootball.com. Be sure to tune in next week for the latest news on Trojan football and recruiting. And don't forget, you can automatically download the podcast directly to your smartphone or tablet for free. Just click the iTunes link on PeristylePodcast.com or search for Peristyle Podcast at the iTunes Music Store.